Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
We lived in these dwellings for millions of years, sleeping, creating life, preparing food, and performing rituals. Our ancestors have worshipped their limestone and crystal walls, believing they possess mystical properties. Today, some people still believe these burrows harness energy and amplify paranormal activity. Others believe creatures are lurking in their shadows, crawling along the walls and stealing the souls of any who dare to enter. Some curious explorers have gotten lost and met their demise, dying alone in the dark. From history to folklore to creatures to disappearances and deaths, there are endless stories from these dark caverns. Today's episode is all about caves. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a mystery podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's episode, all about history, folklore, disappearances, creepy crawlies, and caves, all of the things, I would love if you continue to follow along. And if you are a returning listener, hello my friends and welcome back. I'm very happy you're here today. Last episode that I recorded was all about mirrors, and then I had to take a little break. I was out of town with family. But the next deep dive I've done now is about caves, and it's just been interesting because these are things that are so seemingly mundane. We are around them all the time. They've been around forever. But man, there are so many stories about caves, and caves have always fascinated me because they're dark, they're kind of ominous. They are the backdrop of some of my favorite horror movies. Like, I'm a big fan of The Descent and As Above, So Below, which is really about the catacombs. I've talked about the catacombs before for my 100th episode. There's just something about caves that fascinates so many people. I mean, that's why cave divers are a thing, right? So it just really got me wondering what kinds of stories are out there about caves, and I'm excited to get into it with you today. Trigger warning as usual for today's episode. This episode will contain some disturbing and spooky content, so listener discretion is advised. All the sources I use for today's episode will be down in the show notes. And last thing, I would like to welcome my newest patron. Welcome to the Perplexed Society, Jasper. Jasper joined at the highest tier, so Jasper's going to get a t-shirt in a couple of months for joining and just unlocked over 100 pieces of bonus content, tons of episodes to binge. And thank you so much for supporting the show. That is how I keep the show going. There is a new episode of Creepy Stories from the Internet on there as well that my patrons can enjoy. All of that can be found at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Tiers start at just $2 a month, and you can always enjoy early and ad-free episodes on the Patreon as well. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode all about caves. There's about 45,000 caves in the United States, according to the National Park Service, and 4,500 caves in U.S. national parks, with some spanning more than 100 miles. The United States also has some of the longest cave systems in the world, so naturally, they provide a sense of mystery and danger. A lot of people are scared of the dark, liminal spaces, tight spaces, and just the unknown in general. So it makes sense that there are endless conspiracy theories, folklore surrounding caves. It's estimated about 600,000 people go missing in the United States each year, And of the tens of thousands that are never found, there are allegations that many vanish in national parks, in the woods, in cave systems. There's a lot of conspiracy theories that became very popular in the 2000s, and it seems like they started getting popular when this map of the United States started circulating online that alleged the United States cave systems line up with missing persons. Some say this is nothing more than a baseless conspiracy theory, but other people continue to maintain that people disappear from national parks and cave systems at an alarming rate, and they demand to know why. One of the earliest stories I could find of people going missing in caves goes way back to the 15th or 16th century. The exact year is debated. But there was a man named Alexander Bean, and he was born in East Lothian. Alexander fell in love with a woman named Black Agnes Douglas. The couple ended up having 14 children together and 32 grandchildren. But these two were not your typical lovey-dovey couple. They were more like Bonnie and Clyde. They took on a life of crime, living and working out of the Banan Cave in Ayrshire. Many of their grandkids were born through incest between their children. The family would rob, murder, and cannibalize passerbys, and locals started noticing their neighbors were going missing week after week. But for years, the Bean family remained elusive. No one knew why these people were disappearing, and no one had any idea that anyone had been living in this cave. The cave remained undisturbed for 25 years, but one day the Bean family made a mistake. They attacked a married couple who had been riding home from a fair in broad daylight. The husband and the couple ran his horse into the Bean family and fought them off, but not before they killed his wife. Other people who had been at the fair that day passed by in the middle of all of this insanity, and the Beans realized they were now outnumbered. They had no choice but to flee. The husband who survived the attack then told the local magistrate what had happened. And in some versions of this story, they say the husband talked to the chief magistrate of Glasgow. But we do know after this, a large search party came out to the cave. They brought bloodhounds with them, and then what happened next is debated. There's really two different legends. In one version, the party captured the Bean family alive in the cave while they were in the middle of eating the remnants of their last victim. The Bean family was then executed. Another version of events says the party laced the entrance of the cave with gunpowder and blasted the cave shut. So the Bean family died a slow and painful death, slowly suffocating. No one can seem to agree when the horrors at Banan Cave happened or if they even happened at all. Some people say it's just hogwash, but the story of the Bean family and Banan Cave is certainly a twisted and perplexing one. So let's get into the folklore behind caves and some interesting mythological beliefs. Plato often posed the question, what is reality? And he used the famous allegory of the cave, where humanity was compared to being a prisoner confined in a cave. All the prisoner could see were the shadows and sounds cast on the cave wall from the outside world. But the prisoner thought these sights and sounds were the only version of reality, when in fact everything going on outside was the true reality. Plato argued with the cave allegory that most people are happy to stay in their confined cave-like prison, with their cognitive dissonance and limited understanding of reality. And while I tend to agree with Plato, we can also get more mystical with this idea. The cave allegory got me thinking more about the mysteries and altered reality of caves. The world is vast. 16,000 new species are described every year by scientists. And we're always discovering new things, so for me, this begs the perplexing question, who or what could be living in these caves? And do these caves have mystical properties? Limestone, for example, is known to be the stone of innocence, capable of providing calmness, grounding, purification, and wisdom. Crystal caves are known to contain powerful energy. They are high-frequency spaces that some believe can be used for spiritual transformation, grounding, emotional healing. Could caves serve as portals? Could they magnify paranormal activity? Way back in episode 81, I covered stone tape theory and the concept of residual hauntings So I won't spend too much time here, but the theory basically proposes the stone has the ability to create this looped recording, capturing the essence of spirits. So if you want to hear more about this, definitely go check out episode 81. Some people think stone tape theory is total BS, but I do think it's really interesting. One seemingly mystical cave that I came across this week in my research is known as Devil's Church or Pirunkirko. Researchers have been studying this cave because it has really unusual, rare acoustics. The way Devil's Church is designed, echoes create a specific sound frequency inside, and this specific frequency is very rarely found in any natural setting. This frequency is 231 hertz, and it's been used by shamans for centuries. They believe this frequency can lead to healing and even open portals to contact the other side. According to Finnish folklore, an ancient mystic known as Kinalainen often brought his patients to Devil's Church Cave, where he talked with the devil himself to find causes and cures for his patients' ailments. Kinalainen would chant, play the drums, scream, and make other loud noises, and allegedly this special frequency helped thin the veil to give him answers to help other people. Researchers have confirmed that Devil's Cave has a rare and distinct resonance that amplifies and lengthens sound at a frequency of 231 hertz. In an article from The Debrief, they say about this, quote, "Where a researcher of acoustics hears resonance, people of the past may have sensed the presence of a spirit, and a shamanic practitioner may feel the presence of an exceptional energy," end quote. So you might go with the scientists and say, wow, this is just like a very rare, fascinating thing from nature, and this sound is very unique for humans to hear, but that's kind of the end of it. Other people who are more mystical think that it has this incredibly rare and special property in Devil's Church Cave where you can then gain access to the other side and maybe get some type of spiritual transformation. So make of it what you will, but I definitely thought it was interesting. Then there is, of course, endless folklore about creatures and cryptids that dwell inside of caves. And I've definitely talked about this before. Chinese folklore tells us of large, scaly, fire-breathing dragons, which I did an entire episode about. There are Nordic stories describing towering, violent, cannibalistic trolls. There's Swiss and French folklore that talks about the Barbagazi, which is a type of gnome that lives in a cave. There's a similar story in British folklore of the Blue Caps, which are also a different type of cave-dwelling gnome. In Southeast Europe, there is the Samadivi of Bulgarian and Macedonian folklore, and these are pale, slender, feminine spirits that to me are like a siren. They sing, they dance, and they live in caves near the water. There are also a lot of folklore stories about creatures that live inside of mines. Like in Bolivia, Peru, Ecuador, and Colombia, there are the Muki. These are goblin-like creatures with hypnotic eyes. The Muki are known to actually help the miners. They'll soften the veins of the rock walls for them so that it's easier for them to get what they need. But the Muki have also been known to do very scary, horrible things, like kidnap children. According to this folklore, the Muki will whistle before they take a child, I guess warning everyone. There are also legends of cyclops, sasquatches, and even witches that dwell in caves, like the infamous stories of Gryla from Iceland, which I've talked about on Patreon, or the Bell Witch from Tennessee, which I talked about in episode 48. But you get the idea. There are tons and tons of stories about creepy crawlies, creatures, what have you, living in caves. But the story of the Peak District caves in England in particular caught my attention this week. So in the Peak District, there's a cave called Hobbs House. It's located in Wye Valley in Wales and in England, and it's often referred to by locals as Hob Thirst, which translates to Giant's House. In the 19th century, people started whispering that a giant lived inside of this cave. Locals referred to the giant as Hob, and they reported seeing him travel up and down the valley. Hob was helpful. He would thrash the locals' corn for them and even do odd jobs around their house when they weren't around. And the locals started becoming so grateful for Hob that they started leaving a bowl of cream out for him as a thank you. But Hobbs' help sometimes came at a price. If a local upset him, it's said that they would be cursed. Their cow's milk would sour or dry up, and they would find their dishes around the house smashed. Some people attribute this to the Fae, particularly brownies. Brownies are known to be helpful. The name Hobhurst can also be translated in some languages to refer to a fairy or an elf, and there's similar stories of fairies living in caves all around the world, like the Thirst House Cave in Deepdale and Thor's Cave in the village of Whedon. But now I want to shift focus to arguably the most terrifying cave-dwelling creature that has recently blown up online, the Rake, also known as the Crawler. I have had several of you request that I talk about the Rake or the Crawlers, but most recently it was Murray Godwana 7260 on YouTube. I thought this would go well with this episode because it's widely believed that crawlers, also known as rakes, live in the cave systems. This is a humanoid creature, and it became especially popular after a 911 call from 2021 out of North Carolina went viral. So I'm gonna play it for you guys.
Pender County 911, what's the address of your emergency?
I'm driving on 210. I just crossed the Black River and I thought I saw a guy standing on the side of the road bleeding.
Where are you at, sir?
I'm on 210. I just crossed the Black River. I'm heading towards 53E. I just passed Patriots Watch.
Okay, so you're over near Morse Creek?
Yes.
And did you, saw a man standing on the side of the road?
What the
fuck? What was that, sir?
That's not human! That's not human!
Sir, are you okay, sir?
There's something in the back of my truck!
Okay, what's in the road?
No, it's not in the road, it's in my truck! In the bed!
There's something in the bed of your truck?
Yes, ma'am, I just turned on my bed light for my truck and there's something in my bed.
Okay, sir, when you say something, what do you mean?
I just knocked it off of the bed of my truck and went over my roof.
Okay, what was it?
According to the CAD notes and the deputy reports, this thing jumped into the back of his pickup truck and began to actually beat on the top of the cab of his truck. You could actually hear something beating on the top of the truck. The caller stated that it was beating and scratching on the top of the cab of his truck. He actually stated that he was able to engage his bed light and was able to somewhat identify this object that was in the back of his truck. At some point, he was able to slam on his brakes, and the force of inertia actually threw this thing out over his hood and onto the highway, where this thing stood up in the roadway, made its way to the wood line, and disappeared in the woods.
Now, when I first heard this, I thought it was very interesting, terrifying, but that it was probably fake. But this call has been verified to be real by the Pender County, North Carolina police. Now, whether this actually happened or not, who knows? But this call is real. It was called into police in this area. So a man called 911 in Pender County, North Carolina around midnight, and he had just been driving down a remote county road, NC210, just over the Black River. The man told dispatch that at first he believed he saw a man alone, bleeding profusely from his head on the side of the road. But then he realized this was no man, because it picked up speed and jumped into the back of his truck with great force. The caller later describes the creature as being pale-skinned and incredibly fast. His truck had been traveling around 50 miles an hour, and it kept up with his truck no problem. After it leapt into the bed of the truck, which you can hear in the audio, the creature flew over the truck roof. The driver hit the brakes and the creature vanished. This phone call to police went viral recently in 2025. I think I first saw it on TikTok when someone had sent it to me, and many people online have speculated this was an encounter with a crawler. People have been talking about the crawlers for centuries. An early account of the crawler or the rake was written in 1691. And a mariner's log describing the creature as being skinny and long like a rake. In the 1800s, there have been other reports that were written out describing these creatures as having hollow and black sunken eyes. They've also been described in Missouri folklore, in Mount Shasta, and often all throughout Appalachia. They've become especially popular online in internet forums like Reddit and 4chan, which always adds to the speculation of, is this just some kind of internet story, like Slenderman, for example? Now, some people believe Slenderman is real. I tend to believe that he is from like creepypasta online and that there's really nothing to it. But there are people who really claim in large amounts that they have seen the crawlers, particularly in Appalachia, that they believe they live in the cave systems, and people have been seeing them. It's been documented all throughout the US for thousands of years. There's a couple different classifications of crawlers, but in general, they're described as being humanoid creatures that are pale and gaunt with white or sometimes grayish, sleek skin. They have sunken eyes and they stand at around 6 to 7 feet tall, but they are typically known to crawl, hence their name. But they can also travel on two legs. It's believed they're capable of shape-shifting sometimes, and they share similar characteristics to the skinwalker or the wendigo. They often crawl silently at alarmingly fast speeds. They're pale because they live in caves and they're known to only come out at night. When eyes are described in these encounters, they're often reported to be white, but sometimes they're black, glowing, or even red in color. It's believed that the crawlers live by eating off of animals and people, stalking them before eating them. And some have even alleged, to come full circle, that these crawlers are partially responsible for the missing hikers, referencing back to that missing persons map we talked about earlier. So now that we know about some of the many creatures that allegedly can be found in caves, let's get into the paranormal side of things a little bit more and talk about some famous, allegedly haunted caves.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
There are a lot more than we'll be able to talk about, but I thought today we would talk about Mammoth Cave because this is one of the most famous ones. Mammoth Cave is the longest known cave system in the entire world, and it's actually located in Kentucky National Park. It's over 500 miles as far as what's been charted, but there's still many unexplored areas. It's alleged Mammoth Cave was once used as a misguided TB hospital, where everybody died, including the doctor in charge. Visitors and rangers have reported seeing apparitions dressed in period clothing or apparitions vanishing right before their eyes. Some people have also claimed they've been pushed by unseen forces while they're inside these cave systems, hearing disembodied voices. There was a story of a park ranger that reported hearing cries of a man begging for help, and no one was there. Now, some people believe that this is the spirit of Floyd Collins. And Floyd Collins was a real person that explored Mammoth Cave in 1925 when something went terribly wrong. The cave walls around him collapsed and he ended up getting pinned under debris. He ended up getting stuck for over a week. And despite rescue efforts, Collins died. He was a mere 150 feet from the entrance as well. That day, many people gathered to watch the rescue efforts of Collins, and it's believed these onlookers actually contributed to his death. They were lighting fires, and the heat from the fires melted the ice that was actually stabilizing the cave. Collins was ultimately crushed to death because of passerbys. And then, this is absolutely insane to me, when Collins died, his body was displayed in a glass coffin for over 60 years, and people were paying money to go see his displayed body. My understanding is a family member decided to do this, which is like insanely disrespectful and crazy to me. Throughout this time, grave robbers also stole Collins' remains multiple times, and eventually He received a proper burial, but some people still report to hear him crying for help, just like he did that day when he was buried in the debris. And this makes sense because he was extremely disrespected. I think it would be really hard to pass on given what Collins went through. There is also in Mammoth Cave the spirit of a young woman often reported, and they call this woman Melissa. According to local lore, Melissa fell in love with her tutor, but was rejected, and so she sought revenge. She lured this tutor to the cave, and she snuck away, leaving him alone without a lantern. So he got lost and was never seen again. Visitors have reported hearing the voice of a female that they believe is Melissa, calling from the dark depths of the cave. Maybe she's trying to lure more men to their death. So now let's get into some disappearances and very unfortunate deaths that have happened in caves. Caves are full of unknowns, so there can often be dangers inside. Caves can flood, you could be crushed like Collins, you could get lost, die from hypothermia, and there are even caves filled with dangerous, unseen gases, like the Costa Rica cave that's literally called the Cave of Death. Deep in the volcanic mountains of Costa Rica lies a small, 6 foot deep, 10 foot long, deadly cave known as Cueva de la Muerte, or the Cave of Death. On the outside of the cave, there are warning signs with literal skull and crossbones. The cave contains high amounts of carbon dioxide gas. Videos have circulated online of a man who put a torch to the mouth of the cave entrance, and you can immediately see fire and a white layer of fog emerge from the cave, showing this very dangerous gas. It's said that small animals that enter the cave expect solace, but instead they suffocate within a few minutes. Bad or foul air is also a term that I've come across in my research, and I've Googled this in the past. When I first learned about bad air, it was a new fear unlocked moment for me. So for people who don't know what this is, bad air is an invisible but deadly element in some caves. It happens because the carbon dioxide levels are too high and the oxygen is too low. Bad air is the most common in Australian limestone caves. It's colorless, odorless, and it can lead to respiratory paralysis and death within minutes. The first signs are an increased pulse and increased work of breathing. You can also become clumsy. You could get a headache, feel dizzy, exhausted, nauseous, or experience ringing in your ears. Other cavers that have survived bad air have reported they had a dry, acidic type of taste in their mouth. So for safety, some cavers will carry expensive but effective electronic air quality detectors, or they'll use like a lighter or a box of matches. When you first enter a cave, it's said you can light the match or turn on your lighter to get a gauge of how the levels of gas are in the cave. So basically, if the flame burns bright, you're safe, but if there's like no flame at all or it's very dim, then there's likely a high level of CO2 in the air, so you know you're in danger. And you can continue to do this to check levels as you go deeper into a cave. One of the most famous and horrifying stories of a cave-related death is known as the Nutty Putty caving disaster. On November 24th, 2009, a 26-year-old medical student named John Edward Jones tragically and horrifically died after being trapped upside down for 27 hours in Nutty Putty Cave in Utah. And I've actually talked about this story with Amanda on the Want Nothing podcast, and tons of other podcasts have covered it as well. It's a very sad story, and if you haven't heard of it, please look it up. But I want to spend this point in the episode talking about some lesser-known disappearances and deaths in caves that will likely make you think twice about cave exploration. On June 23rd, 2018, 12 boys from a football team in Thailand went exploring in Tom Luang, which translates to Great Cave. They also went with their football coach. This cave was popular in local urban legends, kind of like the creepy house everybody has on their neighborhood street. It was filled with stories, and the group thought it would be fun to just go take a quick look around before they headed to one of the football teammates' birthday parties. They had already planned on meeting up there. They had the whole house set up for this birthday, and they were really just going to spend like an hour at the cave. The cave system is 6.4 miles long, or 10.3 kilometers. It's the fourth largest cave system in Thailand, and it has a lot of very narrow passageways. The group rode their bikes over to Tom Luang, stashing their bikes and bags at the cave entrance. They didn't bring anything inside with them because, again, they thought this was just going to be a quick stop. The 12 boys and their coach went into the cave with nothing but their torches, and they would end up becoming trapped in the cave for 2 entire weeks. Tom Luang was known to be impacted by monsoons. It's now only considered safe to enter between November and April, but it seems this was lesser known by locals at the time. During monsoon season, the cave could flood up to 5 meters or 16 feet. The hour passed, and the team hadn't arrived to celebrate this other teammate's birthday, so the family's worried. They're like, where's the birthday boy? Where's all the guests? What's going on? The families immediately knew something was wrong because they had heard that they were going to go to this cave. So after a few hours had gone by and no one had shown up, all the families show up to Tom Luang to investigate, and they find the boys' bikes, their bags, and even some football shoes. And so they're like, oh no, this is not good. We need to call authorities. What had happened is the team had become trapped in a flash flood. Tom Luang was quickly filling up with rainwater, and the team had no other choice but to venture deeper into the cave. They had to use rocks to quickly dig 5 meters deeper into the cave shelf, creating a cavern to avoid drowning. The team huddled together there to keep warm, and Coach Ake, a former monk, taught the boys meditation techniques to keep them calm and help them conserve oxygen and their strength. The group had no food, but they were able to gather a supply of drinkable water using the moisture that dripped from the cave walls. Meanwhile, authorities called in the Thai Navy SEALs, police, and other rescue teams. Volunteers also became involved in the evacuation, and these groups tried everything to get the team out. They were pumping water out, they were drilling into the mountainside, digging, but nothing was working, and the water levels were only getting higher and higher. Next, the rescue effort became international. On Thursday, June 28th, the United States Air Force sent out specialists to help as well. Cave divers from around the world were also showing up and volunteering, but even these experts were struggling with the strong current, and they were often forced to retreat due to rising floodwaters. One rescuer named John Valanthan would later say to BBC that on day 9, quote, "We smelt the children before we saw or heard them." And when I first read this, my heart sunk because I thought they were implying that these children had passed, but luckily all 13 of them, including the coach, were found alive. They just smelled horrible from being in this cave and being unable to bathe for 9 days. So they had found them, they were alive, this was great news, but the rescue efforts had to continue for several more days. They couldn't just pull them out. It was very dangerous, and they were very deep inside, miles and miles inside of this cave. A former Navy SEAL diver named Saman Ganon also tragically died helping with the rescue. On July 3rd, Ganon was delivering air tanks to the boys when he ran out of air himself and lost consciousness. He was just 38 years old. Oxygen levels in the cave were also rapidly dropping, and the team was now just at 15% oxygen. It was supposed to rain again soon as well, so time was really running out. Air and phone lines were set up in the cave, along with an oxygen supply. The boys also managed to communicate to their families by writing letters, saying things like, "I'm safe, don't worry," and listing foods that they were excited to eat again. One of the kids even cracked a joke, saying, "Teacher, please don't give us too much homework." I'm not exactly sure how they were passing notes, but it sounds like they created these kind of funnel systems where they could pass down food, oxygen to them, and I guess that's how they got these letters back and forth as well. One letter written to Coach Ake was later provided by a Thai Navy SEAL, and a portion of the letter reads, quote, "Coach Ake, don't blame yourself. I want Coach Ake to be relaxed. the mums and dads, none of them are angry at you, and everyone understands you and sends good wishes and encouragement. Thank you for helping us take care of the kids. Coach Ake, you went inside with them. You must come out with them too, and you must come out safely. End quote. So Sunday, July 7th would mark 2 weeks since the team had been trapped inside of Tom Luang, and time had run out. The rescue team had to pull them out. There was no other option left. The team involved nearly 100 people, and they had to wade and swim through pitch black, freezing cold water for hours, only finding their way with guide ropes. There were passages that were so narrow, they could only fit just one person. They had full face air masks that they gave to the kids once they reached them, and each child was accompanied by a rescue diver. The boys were eventually slowly pulled out on rafts and stretchers, and of course, they all needed medical attention. And literally like a scene out of a movie, the second that they got the last boy out, the water pump that they had been using stopped working. Some say the water pump failed, others say it was switched off, but as soon as they pulled this last boy out, floodwaters completely rushed in and filled the cave. But everyone was safe and alive. Another insane cave disaster story I came across was the story of Dave Shaw. And this one is very tragic. On January 8th, 2005, an Australian cave diver named Dave Shaw disappeared while he was diving at Bushman's Cave in South Africa. Dave was married to his wife Anne, he was a Christian, and the couple had been living in Hong Kong. They had two children, Stephen and Lisa, and Dave was a scuba and technical diver. He was also an airline pilot, and he had a lot of experience going cave diving. He was a professional. When he disappeared, he had been trying to extract the body of another diver, 20-year-old Dion Dreyer, whose remains had been there since December 17, 1994. Dreyer had tragically died after losing consciousness during a practice dive. Dion had told his family before that if he were to die there, that is how he would want to go out. Just 1 year prior to Dreyer's death, another diver named Eben Layden died after blacking out at a depth of 60 meters or 200 feet in the same cave. Layden was brought up immediately by a diving buddy, Bodie Sheehan, but he couldn't be revived. So multiple people have died in this cave. Dion had been trapped there for many years. It was too dangerous to get his remains out. He was trapped there for over a decade. And Dreyer's parents ended up putting a plaque on the rock wall just above Bushman's Hole entry pool in memory of their son's passing. And for years, it served as a warning to other divers not to dive in this area. But there came a point where they really wanted to get Dion's remains out, give him a proper burial, and Dave Shaw felt that he could do this job. This extraction obviously had great risks. The operation was over 900 feet down, 270 meters. This was going to be deeper than anyone had ever gone before. Dave Shaw was working with a team to get Dion's body out, so the entire rescue effort was also being filmed. And as morbid and horrific as this is, you can watch Shaw's video on YouTube. Watch it at your own risk. I did watch it so that I could understand the story, and it is very upsetting. Shaw did make it to Dion's body, but he started having complications pretty much as soon as he got there. He was trying to get Dion's remains into the body bag, and Dion was like getting caught on the line. And then when it was time to go back up to the surface, Dave Shaw couldn't. He got like tangled up in this line. And ultimately, people think he experienced a buildup of carbon dioxide, blacked out, and drowned. 3 days after Dave Shaw died, the bodies of him and Dion Dreyer were successfully recovered. Now, to close out today's episode, I'm going to finish off by telling you the story of Kenny Veach. And this is one of the most mysterious missing persons cases I have come across. And it's a pretty recent story. This was in 2014 where this all begins. It's a very, very crazy one, and I really don't know what to make of it.
Moto Casino, America. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
In late 2014, Kenny Veach posted a comment under a YouTube video about Area 51. The video was titled Son of an Area 51 Technician. Kenny posted under the screen name SnakeBitMGee. Kenny had been living in Vegas and he was an avid hiker. Kenny's comment read, quote, "This ain't nothing. I'm a long distance hiker. One time during one of my hikes out by Nellis Air Force Base, I found a hidden cave. The entrance to the cave was shaped like a perfect capital M. I always enter every cave I find, but as I began to enter this particular cave, my whole body began to vibrate. The closer I got to the cave entrance, the worse the vibrating became. Suddenly, I became very scared and I hightailed it out of there. That was one of the strangest things that ever happened to me." End quote. While a lot of people read Kenny Veach's comment on this video and were skeptical, others were perplexed and they encouraged Kenny to go back out to this cave. It became known as M Cave, and they wanted him to document his experience. This cave was located in the Mojave Desert, one of the hottest and driest regions in the entire world. This area is also rumored to be a criminal's dumping ground, with rumors of the mob frequently dumping bodies there. Kenny did decide to return to the cave, and he brought his 9mm pistol with him along with a video camera. He said he was in fear of who or what he might find, but he did go back, and when he did, something very strange happened. The cave had seemingly vanished. He couldn't find it anywhere. And he posted a 21-minute YouTube video online. My understanding is it's still online. You can go watch it. And Kenny was only met with more skepticism, which I think is totally understandable. They're like, what do you mean you can't find this cave? Obviously, you made this whole thing up for attention, blah, blah, blah. But some YouTubers encouraged him to go back for a third time. One comment, though, on his video is very eerie. It says, "No, do not go back there. If you find that cave entrance, don't go in. You won't get out." End quote. And some people believe that that is what happened. On November 10th, 2014, Kenny went back to M Cave for a third and final time. He told his family and his girlfriend that he would be gone for just a couple days, but he never came back. It would be an entire week before Kenny was reported missing, which I do think is kind of strange, but he was officially reported missing at around 5 p.m. on November 17th. When police searched Kenny's home, they found a note that appeared to have been typed out by Kenny with the words, "Help me," typed out over and over and over again. Additionally, Kenny's sister-in-law, Susan, says the police waited 5 more days before launching their search and rescue operation. So by now, let's see, it had been 12 days, almost 2 weeks since Kenny had last been seen by anyone. Rescuers used Kenny's previously uploaded video from his hike to help narrow down the search area. They ended up finding the abandoned mine shaft where Kenny was seen in this video. And on November 22nd, 2014, search and rescue volunteers did find Kenny Veach's cell phone. But this was the only sign of Kenny that was ever found. To this day, nothing else has been found. At least 2 additional searches and rescue operations have been launched in the years since Kenny Veach's disappearance, but all have come up empty-handed. His remains to this day have never been found, no other belongings, nothing. The mysterious M Cave has also never been found. People question if maybe Kenny fell down a mine shaft, if he had succumbed to the elements and was just never found, they searched the wrong area, or if he stumbled upon a hidden entrance to Area 51, as Area 51 is notoriously close to where Kenny Veach was last located. His girlfriend would later say in an online post, quote, They found his car in the area I told them it would be. They did find his cell phone by the mineshaft in the video. The mineshaft was only about a 4-hour hike from his car. It's my feeling he left it behind so that he could not be tracked from the GPS in it. He also did not take his video camera with him on this solo hike. It was left in his home. So he had no intention of filming anything. End quote. So to his girlfriend and many people online, one of the big theories is that Kenny Veach took his own life. Kenny Veach's girlfriend claims that Kenny battled with depression for years. He had quit his job the year prior. He had also been financially struggling, allegedly, and he had also allegedly verbalized thoughts of suicide in the past when talking to his girlfriend. And at one point, he said that if he did this, no one would ever find him. The story of Kenny Veach continues to be scrutinized online, with some people believing Kenny took his own life, but others believe Kenny stumbled upon something he was not supposed to see, a mystical cave, and he vanished. It's also possible if he did find a cave, the vibration that Kenny described was related to bad air and that the tingling was due to loss of oxygen. However, some of Kenny's family believes he may still be alive. On July 15th, 2018, so just about 4 years after he disappeared, Debbie Veach, Kenny's other sister, experienced a break-in at her local holistic health center. And this is where the story of Kenny Veach gets even stranger. The man on the footage shares a striking resemblance to Kenny. The hairline looks exactly the same. They have very similar facial characteristics. Now, granted, the man in the surveillance footage, it is in like night vision mode. It's in black and white. You can't be 100% certain, but it is striking in my opinion. The man that broke into this holistic health center stole an iPad from inside, and it seemed like he knew exactly where it was, like he went directly to it. He was also walking with a limp and grabbing his knee, and Kenny was known to have a bad knee. Kenny's family also said where this iPad was located was not like common knowledge, so someone who was close to the family would have had to have known because they were able to go right to where it was. Some of Kenny's family believes he cashed out a life insurance policy or that he wanted to take advantage of his dad's retirement benefits. His death was never reported to social insurance, so maybe Kenny managed to live under his dad's name. Kenny's daughter also at one point said she believed the man on the video was her father, but later retracted this statement. So officially, the man in this surveillance footage was never positively identified, and no arrests for the break-in have ever been made. Others have also claimed to have seen Kenny in the Nevada desert as early as a few years ago. But there's also rumors a large femur bone was recently found near the mine where Kenny was last seen. Other YouTubers have also claimed to have found the M cave and uploaded different videos online, but all of these caves look slightly different. I'm wondering with this break-in, if they bothered, probably not, but if they bothered to take any fingerprints or anything like that, I really want to know what happened to Kenny Veach. Stories of people who vanish are always unsettling to me, and the fact that a cave is involved in it as well makes it especially unsettling to me for some reason. But that is the story of Kenny Veach, and that, everybody, is today's perplexing episode all about history, folklore, creepy crawlies, and weird disappearances, unfortunate deaths surrounding caves. I hope you guys enjoyed this perplexing cave-themed episode today. If you did, be sure to let me know. If you're watching on YouTube, I would love if you interact with the video. It really does help so much. Like the video, subscribe, comment down below. What do you think about these stories and this folklore? Have you ever had a weird experience in a cave? I would love to hear about it. If you're listening on Spotify, you can also leave a comment on this exact episode letting me know your thoughts. And if you guys have not left a 5-star review, please do that wherever you listen. It's extremely helpful and it just takes a couple of seconds. You can also share this episode, continue to tell people about the show. That's much appreciated. And if you want to support the show further, if you want early ad-free episodes and tons of bonus content, There's a lot of fun stuff happening on the Perplexed Society. So that's patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. And that is a wonderful way to support the show. It's much appreciated. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. You all are amazing. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe. If you do decide to go explore a cave, please use the buddy system. And I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast, is hosted, written, and produced by me, Kadra Brannon. This show is proud to be a part of the Black Cat Network. Assistant editor is Charlie Leopold. Theme song by Patrick Thompson. All music used in this episode is from Pixabay. If you like the show, be sure to share it with others and leave a 5-star rating and review. Contact, support, and merch links can be found in the episode description. To unlock early ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Listener stories, topic requests, and business inquiries can be submitted to perplexitymysterypodcast.com or emailed to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Until next week, stay curious.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.